This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 383 of Israel's genocide in Gaza as the war on Lebanon expands. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments in Gaza and Lebanon. In Gaza last Thursday, Israeli forces killed Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar while he was on the front lines defending Rafah in the south. In an announcement delivered by Khalil al-Hayya, head of Hamas in Gaza, the resistance group said that Sinwar, quote, dedicated his life for Palestine and sacrificed his soul for the sake of God on the path to its liberation. Our senior editor Maureen Claire Murphy writes that Israeli propagandists may have thought that publishing photos and videos of Sinwar's last moments and his lifeless body would instill feelings of defeat and humiliation among supporters of the Palestinian resistance. The images have instead had the opposite effect and will only cement his already legendary status. They show that Sinwar died in combat like a rank-and-file fighter in perhaps not his first direct engagement with Israeli troops, rather than accepting exile or being killed in retreat. Meanwhile, Israel is continuing to systematically destroy the northern Gaza Strip, carrying out ethnic extermination campaigns and forced mass expulsion. For nearly 3 weeks, Israel has blocked food, water, medicine, and fuel from reaching the areas north of Gaza City, as the remaining reporters and health workers there describe scenes of catastrophic horror. On Saturday, images and video emerged of what journalists have described as a death march around the Indonesian hospital in Beit Lahia. Reporter Hossam Shabat stated that Israeli occupation forces dug a, quote, deep hole in one of the squares surrounding the Indonesian hospital and placed male Palestinians in it with their hands tied and their eyes blindfolded. Shabat had reported that in the days leading up to this death march, the hospital had been surrounded by tanks as Israeli soldiers cut the electricity, bombed the building, and targeted the second and third floors with artillery shells. In the Jabalia refugee camp, Israeli forces forced families to leave their homes and attacked a school turned into a shelter on Monday. Hossam Shabat reported that they, quote, lined people up and shot anyone who dared to move. Any male over the age of 16 is being detained, tortured, and investigated. Many people who are being lined up are sick individuals, such as amputees, cancer patients, and young kids who are being asked to stand in line for hours. The situation is catastrophic, he said. Novelist Ahmed Massoud, who has been on this live stream before and has family in Jabalia and Beit Lahia, tweeted on Tuesday that his relatives have been separated from each other by gender, with Israeli soldiers detaining the men. He added that he has had no contact with his family members since. On Tuesday, reporter Anas Al-Sharif stated that Israeli drones with loudspeakers ordered more than 10,000 displaced Palestinians to leave a school shelter in Beit Lahia and would be bombed or shot if they refused. These mass expulsions come on the heels of relentless massacres across northern Gaza. Along with the Indonesian hospital, Al-Auda Hospital was also directly hit in Israeli attacks on Friday. And on Tuesday, the acting director of Al-Auda stated that Israeli forces were again besieging the hospital. Also on Tuesday, Dr. Hossam Abu Safia, the director of Kamal Adwan Hospital in Beit Lahia, issued a distress call saying that Israeli forces had bombed the gate of the hospital and that quadcopter drones were dropping bombs. The upper floors of the hospital were being shot at and that all services had collapsed, he said. Quote, there are no blood units or tubes to drain bleeding from the chest, and most of the medical supplies are not available. He added that people who evacuated were shot on the way out of the hospital. Dr. Abu Safia warned, quote, Kamal Adwan Hospital will turn into mass graves. In a statement on Tuesday, Munir Al-Bursh, the director of the health ministry in Gaza, who is currently in the north, said that hospitals, quote, have run out of coffins to prepare the dead, and we have asked people to donate any fabric they have at home. Palestinian health officials and civil emergency corps say that dozens of bodies of people killed by Israeli fire remain scattered on roads and under rubble, with rescue teams unable to reach them. The United Nations says that on Thursday, Israel bombed a UN school in Jabalia refugee camp hosting displaced people, killing at least 28 Palestinians and wounding 160. Early Saturday morning, Israel bombed several houses in Jabalia, killing at least 33 and injuring dozens more. Later on Saturday, dozens of people were killed in Beit Lahia as Israeli warplanes razed entire residential blocks, Maureen writes. The Gaza Health Ministry reported that at least 87 people were killed and people were trapped under the rubble. Three prominent Palestinian human rights groups, Al-Haq, Al-Mizan, and the Palestinian Center for Human Rights, said this week that civilians in northern Gaza are, quote, being punished for continuing to refuse to follow Israel's unlawful forcible displacement orders. With no safe place to go, Palestinians in Gaza's north are fearful that if they flee, they will never be able to return, Maureen adds. Journalist Hossam Shabbat reported that Israel has, quote, rigged residential zones with explosives. Israeli soldiers, he says, are setting explosive barrels at night and detonating them during the day, resulting in devastating destruction and death. They are moving closer to densely populated areas where residents are unable to flee due to surveillance by quadcopters that target anyone who attempts to move. Israel's goal is to destroy every building in the Jabalia refugee camp and kill its residents in order to annex the land. And amid the total closure of northern Gaza to any food, medicine, or water, Israeli forces killed six Palestinian men when they tried to access drinking water in Jabalia camp on Monday, according to Al Jazeera. But Israel also killed workers on their way to repair a water line in the south in Khan Yunus. The international aid group Oxfam stated on Monday that Israel bombed a clearly marked vehicle belonging to engineers and workers from the Huza municipality in coordination with Oxfam's partners at the coastal municipality's water utility. The four men were killed on their way to conduct repairs to water infrastructure in Huza, east of Khan Yunus, and their movements had been coordinated with the Israeli military beforehand. The government media office in Gaza says Israeli forces have prevented the entry of, quote, more than a quarter of a million trucks of aid and goods since the war began last year, adding that it was part of Israel's strategy of, quote, reinforcing the starvation policy and using it as a weapon of war against civilians and against children, especially by preventing the entry of food, baby milk, and nutritional supplements. Capitulating to Israel's severe restrictions or outright preventions of aid deliveries by land into Gaza as people starve, international aid-dropped parcels have somewhat resumed. One of those parcels killed a three-year-old boy, Sami Ayad, in the southern city of Khan Yunus on Saturday, according to his relatives and reported by CNN. Quote, the family was eating breakfast when pallets dropped from airplanes and careened toward the displacement area, the grandfather of the boy, who's also named Sami Ayad, told CNN. Several family members attempted to take cover inside their improvised tents, but the falling parcel killed the three-year-old instantly, Ayad recalled. Sami's aunt and cousin were also wounded on their foot and face, respectively, Ayad added. I was sitting here with the boy, and the moment I left him, the package fell on him, Ayad said. There was only a second between me and him. I carried him and started running. We have no hospitals. I ran like crazy, but the boy died instantly. I couldn't save him. Blood started coming out of his nose and mouth, he added. Our contributor Yusuf Al-Jamal said on Monday that a young man he interviewed for a story we just published on the Electronic Intifada was killed. Yusuf Abu Rabi, a farmer and food provider, was killed Monday in a drone strike near his plant nursery after he was delivering fresh produce to people in Beit Lahia. In the days before he was killed, Yusuf Al-Jamal writes, Abu Rabi posted a short video on his Instagram account documenting him and another person ducking for cover on a narrow street. They had come under fire while distributing parcels of food in bright blue plastic bags, the gunshots audible in the video. Writer, chef, and journalist Leila El-Haddad stated that, quote, Israel assassinated farmer Yusuf Abu Rabi and his two colleagues today as they were delivering seedlings to his neighbors in the north. He was a true hero, resisting genocide in impossible circumstances. In a recent video, Abu Rabi highlights the resilience and determination of the people in the north. I'll let the video play and then translate afterwards.
للأمان الناس الموجودة هان ناس جبارة وعظيمة للأمان بدون مبالغة وبدون مجاملة ناس جبارة للأمان بالرغم من كل هالدمار والخراب مصرين على البقاء والزراعة بقول لك بدنا نرجع من أول وجديد حنعمره إن شاء الله بنعمره وبنزرعه بإذن الله.
He says the people who are here, they're truly great and resilient. Without exaggeration, they are. In spite of all this destruction, people are still insisting on staying, planting, and wanting to rebuild again. In his feature that we just published, Yusuf Al-Jamal, who interviewed Abu Rabi at length about his agricultural project in northern Gaza, writes, quote, that Palestinian farmers were even able to plant during a genocide is a marvel, and the loss of any food producer is devastating to society as a whole, while Israel uses starvation as a weapon of war. The killing of a young farmer like Abu Rabi, who provided a lifeline to his community, leaves other Palestinians in Gaza's north, where almost no food has been allowed in since the beginning of the month, much more vulnerable. Meanwhile, Michael Fakhri, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on the Right to Food, admonished members of the so-called international community this week in a UN hearing. He said, quote, 1 year ago, I stood before you and told you that food is increasingly used as a weapon against civilians. Exactly 1 year ago, I, amongst other mandate holders, raised the alarm for the risk of genocide against the Palestinian people. Unfortunately, you did not take sufficient action. And as my colleagues and I predicted, Israel's war proved to be a genocidal campaign against the Palestinian people. The Palestinian people have faced genocide for a year with no signs of Israel abating. What the world has learned is no amount of facts and figures, no amount of horror, no amount of death and pain is enough to trigger a global response to starvation and genocide. We've published so many features on the Electronic Intifada in the last week, but we wanted to highlight excerpts of this one by Assam Al-Nabih in Gaza City. Assam is an engineer and PhD researcher and serves as the spokesperson for the Gaza municipality. Quote, I have buried a friend's charred remains, seen orphaned boys and girls become guardians to their siblings, and witnessed parents carrying their children's remains in plastic bags for burial, unsure if all the body parts belong to their son or daughter. I have also witnessed a hospital be turned into a makeshift military base and another a cemetery. I know of survivors who have succumbed to infections from minor cuts, as the entry of essential antibiotics into Gaza is arbitrarily banned by Israel. Gaza is filled with the scent of blood, with many suffering from severe injuries, amputated limbs, and trauma. Ordinary civilians have repurposed abandoned Israeli military crates used to carry ammunition to kill Palestinians as firewood for cooking, with scarcely any fuel entering Gaza. We have turned our cars into homes, tarpaulin tents into schools and clinics, mattresses into stretchers, and escaped to overcrowded UNRWA schools in search of safety and refuge, only for those shelters to be bombed. As we continue to adapt, we are all becoming the, quote, living embodiments of pending funerals, as I heard a grieving mother say. Many of us in Gaza's north have had to survive by eating leaves and snails. Others in the south make do with cans of tasteless fava and kidney beans or expired food. Aid agencies call it a famine. It should be called what it truly is, deliberate starvation. It is as stark as white flour, though I have seen hungry children sifting through flour mixed with sand and debris. These children are the fortunate ones. I have spent many long nights waiting in queues at bakeries, flour distribution centers, partially functioning water wells, and aid points where groups offer the same repetitive food parcels. But I am more than just a statistic. Like 2.3 million other Gazans, I have a family, parents, children, siblings, memories, pain, emotions, and a home, albeit now in the form of rubble. I am too exhausted to ask when this will end. I am demanding that this end now. Those are excerpts from This Must End Now by Asim al-Nabi on electronicintifada.net. Turning northwards, Israel has escalated its bombing attacks against civilians across Lebanon in recent days. Israeli forces carried out several strikes in Beirut's southern suburbs on Monday, including one near the Rafik Hariri University Hospital, the capital's main government hospital. The attack killed more than a dozen people, including a child, and injured more than 50, according to Lebanese health authorities. Administrators at the Sahel Hospital in South Beirut reported that the medical facility was evacuated following warnings issued by Israel. On Monday, Israeli military spokesman Daniel Hagari claimed that Hezbollah was holding millions of dollars in gold and cash in assassinated leader Hassan Nasrallah's personal bunker underneath the hospital. The same kinds of baseless claims of hidden military bunkers underneath hospitals in Gaza that Israel made in order to justify bombing them. On Monday, Israeli airstrikes targeted residential apartment buildings in southern Beirut. The number of people killed since Israel's offensive in Lebanon began has risen to almost 2,500, with nearly 12,000 more injured. And some 1.2 million people, a quarter of Lebanon's population, have been displaced from their homes. On Sunday, signaling a further broadening of its assault on civilian life, Israel bombed branches and offices of Al-Kard al-Hassan, a credit union that gives out small loans to citizens, but that Israel claims is part of the financial infrastructure of the Lebanese resistance group Hezbollah. Finally, as we always do, we wanted to share videos of people expressing defiance and resilience in the face of Israel's widening campaign of destruction. This video shows a woman in Lebanon making coffee in her destroyed home. And this video, recorded and shared by the Gaza Sunbirds paracycling team, shows one of their members in the central Gaza Strip preparing bread and menakish amid the rubble of his home, enjoying this classic Palestinian breakfast.
يعطيك العافية عبود
الله يعافيك
انا شوي
الله الله الله
شلونك يا هذا هنا طول الزعفران
مناقيش الزعتر فطور الصباح
بده تحرير
And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.